The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. In case you wondered why the first reading wasn't printed, we're using the alternate first reading throughout most of July, all from Genesis. I wonder, have you ever worried about where society is headed with its glorification of violence or its manipulation of sexuality for gain, with its rampant consumerism, with its willful indifference about creation? And have you ever wondered about society's influence on Christians? Certain groups of Christians have worried so much about this that they decided to protect themselves by isolating themselves from society. Amish Christians are a pretty obvious example of this from modern times. But there are even subtler ways that Christian groups can do this. There's a megachurch in Phoenix, outside of Phoenix, Arizona, that when building an addition in the past decade, decided to add on a cafe, a bowling alley, small shops run by people in the congregation. Homeschooling was encouraged, and houses were even built around the outskirts of the campus, so that homes, they could be kind of surrounding the land that the congregation had purchased. Parishioners need deal mainly with fellow Christians for almost everything in life. The gospel writer, Matthew, and his community also worried about the influence of the world, particularly because Christianity was a minority group at that time in history, and they weren't always treated in a kind way, as most minority groups aren't. So Matthew told Jesus' parable to people who wondered if they should cut themselves off from the rest of society. Remember the punchline? The farmer replied, "No, let them grow both together until the harvest comes. Let good and evil grow alongside one another. Let society do what it will, God will take care of it in the end. Let the church not protect or isolate itself from the world. God will root out evil in the end, including evil done by Christians. I remember hearing a sermon about this 25 years ago when I was in my early 20s, and I was troubled. You see, I had heard this parable to be about personal salvation, and I wasn't sure if I was wheat or weed. I had been looking for a church for no religious reason. I was in my early 20s, and I wanted to meet people in my new community. I just moved to New Jersey, and I found this Lutheran church in Summit, New Jersey, where I heard God preached in a gracious way for the first time I could remember. That's when I heard this parable. I couldn't get past thinking that I must have misunderstood something. That God might be gracious, okay, but really it was about us in the end, about whether I am good or bad, whether I am wheat or weed. So I went to the pastor's office, my new pastor's office, after the evening service, and was planning in my mind to ask him about the parable in a very kind of theoretical and intelligent way. But as soon as I saw him at his desk, I blurted out, "So how do you know if you're a weed or a wheat?" Anybody else hear this in that way? My pastor assured me that within each of us is both weed and wheat, good and evil, sinner and saint. More importantly, the seed that the farmer throws everywhere, that is the gospel, the word, the seed, really is good seed. And the farmer is rather foolishly lavish. He throws it everywhere. Doesn't matter. Not just where ground has been prepared. He's lavish, foolishly lavish with the seed. Even though this reading was really meant to be heard communally, we can also hear it personally, especially if that's our concern. Matthew even helps us to see this at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, where at Jesus' baptism, he pronounces, "I have come to fulfill all righteousness. I have come to fulfill all righteousness." He doesn't come so that we can fulfill all righteousness, but so that he can for us. We don't have to worry. The seed is good. He will let both grow alongside each other, weed and wheat, until the end of the ages, and then throw all of the evil that is in us, all that we've done, all that we've left undone that we could have done and didn't, all of the horrendous evil in the world, all of the injustice, the cruelty, the disease, the hatred, all will be burned up and destroyed. God will root out evil at the end. Whether we hear the parable as originally intended, as a communal assurance, or as a personal assurance, we don't need to worry about sin or evil that's within us. God will take care of it. In other words, we don't have to separate ourselves from the world to protect ourselves. We don't have to worry about being overly influenced by the world. Worrying about one's spiritual state always turns us inward, as if it depends on us, when God always turns us outward, toward our neighbor, lavishly and foolishly at times, bearing much fruit for our neighbor that we probably will mostly never know about and that will be spoken about at our funeral eulogies. We were created to be in connection with and serve our neighbors, no matter their religion. And each of us does do that through our daily callings in the world as colleague, employee, boss, student, citizen. And as Christians, all we need to do is to hold fast to the foolish farmer who feeds us with good seed, the nourishing, gracious word of God. He'll keep casting it out to us. Sometimes it will take, sometimes it won't. The foolish and gracious farmer who comes to us weekly through the meal to forgive us lavishly and perhaps foolishly, who embraces us and sends us out into the world with courage and faith so that the world may come to know such a grace-filled and lavish God that we know in Jesus Christ, the foolish farmer. Amen.